But the role of a father has many pictures in Scripture to draw from. But I think none is greater than the picture of our Heavenly Father. We can think of Adam, the first father. We can think of Father Abraham, Jacob, his 12 sons, David, the father of Solomon, Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. Or even in the parables, we see the picture of the father of the prodigal son, giving us even a picture of the Heavenly Father in that parable. But however, our Heavenly Father is the prime example. He's the role definer for fatherhood. I want you to look with me this morning here in Hebrews chapter 12 to see some lessons from our Heavenly Father. And let's start in verse number 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Here we have in this passage in Hebrews chapter 12, a passage that's coming right on the heels of Hebrews chapter 11, which is that great hall of faith chapter. The chapter where we see all the different heroes that by faith they did this and by faith they did that, and we see all kinds of examples for us. And then beginning in chapter 12, then, because of that, there is a turn in focus. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with that endurance the race that's set before us. And so now we have a context of running this race as those heroes of the faith did. And we look to Jesus as the author, the finisher. Jesus is that fleshed out model. He is that example that we look to, that we pour of, that we see how it was done. We look to that physical example of Jesus. But then, not only that, as we consider him who endured from sinners such hostility, then the writer of Hebrews goes right into verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addressed you as sons? He goes right into the teaching of God the Father, the Heavenly Father, who teaches us through discipline. In 2003, a study was produced. It was called The Hardwired to Connect, the New Scientific Case for Authoritative Communities. It was put together by the Dartmouth Medical School, the Institute for American Values, and the YMCA of America. They had 33 distinguished children's doctors, research scientists, mental health, and youth service professionals that were formed because there was a concern over the rising rates of mental illness and behavioral issues and emotional distress amongst children and teens. When they got done with the study, they came with 10 different conclusions, but they were all pointing towards this fact that the commission was calling for a strengthening of authoritative communities that provide the kind of connectedness that children need. And it's likely to be the best strategy for taking care of that crisis in childhood, emotional, behavioral issues. Isn't it interesting that as they studied it, they came to a biblical conclusion that when the children were in authoritative communities, they flourished. They needed that kind of connection. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, as we see this, as we talk about that running that race and doing all those to endure and lay aside sin and the weights that beset us, we have an authoritative community through our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12 shows us that authoritative connectedness of fatherhood through the lessons of the Heavenly Father. And this morning, I want you to see a few of these. First, we see that love motivates faithful teaching. Love motivates faithful teaching. Look at verse 5. "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives." Now, understand that when we see these words discipline and chastise, they seem to have become a buzzword for fear in our lives. I remember memorizing these verses growing up and just thinking about discipline. It was a negative connotation, but yet that is not what we are seeing from this passage. There's something incredibly positive that he's teaching us. What we see here in verses 5 and 6 is a direct quotation of Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. And notice the keys to it. It starts off in verse 5, "Have you forgotten the exhortation?" Exhortation, it's probably a word we don't go around using much anymore and throw it out. "Well, I'm going to exhort you right now." But what it is it's an encouragement. The word means basically to come alongside of. And so this exhortation, he's saying, have you forgotten that encouragement? Have you forgotten that teaching? Have you forgotten what God has laid out for us when he's addressing you as sons? He says, "My son, do not regard lightly, don't overlook, don't put it in the back burner, the discipline of the Lord." Discipline is that corrective education. It's not just punishment, although we see that the punishment has a place in discipline, but it is the correctiveness and the education that comes with it. Most of you have heard of it this way. It's applying the board of education to the seat of learning. But when we think of discipline, we need to see the corrective aspect that discipline provides. And here, it's not just this word left out in the open. Notice in verse 6, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastises every son whom he receives." This discipline, this is an act of love. The word chastise there is another word in the line of discipline. But it literally means whipping. It literally means a flogging. Some of you might have remembered some of those whippings and floggings that you've received growing up. You know, there's different sayings that are going around the internet now, and then some of them say, you know, you haven't been whipped by your mother's switch, and it shows. But there's an act of discipline in this chastising that is bringing about this correction. And notice that these words are not used just arbitrarily. They are used in connection with love. Love is what motivates this faithful teaching. Love is what motivates this discipline, this correction, this bringing to order. Those whom he loves, he brings about this correction, this teaching. And discipline in this teaching is an act of love. It includes the actions of accountability for that wrongdoing. But it also begins with not just the punishment, it begins with how we teach. Because we have to teach them what is wrong before they understand that it's doing wrong to partake in that. We have to show the standard. And for God himself, when he is teaching us, he has given us his revealed truth through the Word of God. The Heavenly Father teaches and he disciplines out of that act of love. Revelation 3:19. It tells us, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent." don't know about you, but I was never really zealous about the discipline that I received growing up. But yet, it's a show that love motivates this teaching. That love is behind this correction. And here from our Heavenly Father, we see this important aspect that fatherhood is the opportunity to lovingly correct and discipline so that life might be understood and God can be honored. Unfortunately, it's too easy to drift away from that discipline, and we kind of drift towards producing almost a hedonistic society when we get away from this idea of discipline. When we get away from this idea of bringing this correction, that all of a sudden there is no correction and it leads to chaos. I tell you, we need to pray more and more for our teachers because they deal with it on a daily basis. When there's no correction, when there's no guidance, it leads to chaos. And the teachers are like, amen, I've been there. But here, when we see there is a loving correction provided, there is direction. And the Heavenly Father is setting the example of lovingly correcting His children to keep them from harm. If you love your children, you're going to discipline, you're going to guide, you're going to direct. There were a few times in my life that I got a whooping. Just a few. And one of those times that has just stuck out into my brain was I was riding with my mom. We had this conversion top van. All right, and when I say conversion top, this thing was big. All right, it was blue, silver, two-tone. You knew it was the Wallace family coming down the road. And it had a camper top on that thing. And it was a camper inside. There were two long bench seats. No thought of a seat belt in the back seats whatsoever. It was a camper van. And I was with my mom, and my dad was at the church, and my mom needed to run up. My grandmother was up there working on something, so we pulled up to the church, and my dad was parked this way in front of his office over here, and we were going into the gym that was over here, and there was a road that kind of curved right there alongside of it. And so my dad in the family station wagon, all right, was parked right there. My mom pulled up in the van and stopped along the curve right here. She's facing that direction. My mom goes inside to see my grandmother. I jump in the driver's seat because it is time for NASCAR. All right. We are going to get this van up to 50. All right. We were going to speed. And so I'm sitting there, and of course, you know, as a little kid, you're thinking about how to drive and you're doing all this. And so, boy, then you got to shift gears, right? Well, in that van, there was only one gear shift. And I grabbed that thing, and this is back in those days where we don't have all the safety features that we have today. I was one of the reasons they put those safety features in the van. It didn't have the key in it, and I pulled that gear shift right down into neutral. And there was just enough of an incline for that van just to start creeping backwards. Oh no, this van's moving. I jump out, I go run, try to get Mom. I come out with Mom out of the gym just as my dad's walking out of the side door from his office, just to see that back bumper of that van just slightly kiss the fender of our station wagon. The dent wasn't even the size of a dime, but that didn't matter. Because the famous saying my dad would say was, "You're going to think the world is coming to an end." And he took me inside the camper van, and he shut the curtains of the camper van, and he gave me a whooping. Now, growing up, my wife was not so innocent either. And one day, she got in a car and drove it through the garage door, to which she received the Board of Education to the seat of learning. Love motivated our parents to correct an issue so that our kids will never be in a car by themselves. And we are thankful that there are safety features today. We see this. If it's a loving act of discipline to correct our children, we do not want to see harm come to our children. And if we love our children, we will step in for that momentary time to bring about that discipline so that life doesn't end in a terrible and a tragic manner down the road. Love motivates faithful teaching. The second thing we see is that discipline evidences relationship. In the second section of this passage, look at verse 7. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? This passage, this few verses here, brings about a strong positive and also a strong warning. Notice in verse 7 he says it is for discipline you have to endure. Why? Because God is treating you as sons. He's treating you as his very own. Discipline reveals a family connection, a vital relationship. And here we see that positive, that when discipline is taking place, when God is chastising us, when God is bringing about that correction in our life, folks, you can come to a point and you can thank God for the discipline because he's treating you as a son. He's treating you as one that has a relationship with him. Because then we see the negative. The positive is we have that relationship with him, but then we see the negative. The negative side of the coin is that which is left without discipline. In verse 8, for if you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Illegitimate is bringing about the idea of not lawful offspring. Without the legal rights as a son or a daughter. In other words, we might think we are, but if we can continually live in sin and can continually walk in sin apart from what God has designed, and we can do so without discipline, we need to check our relationship with the Lord. Because when there's not that discipline, here we see the scripture says there is not sonship. There's no relationship. A heavenly father is going to discipline, and that discipline brings about an evidence of relationship. The writer even acknowledges it there in verse 9. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us. He said this is a very natural thing. Earthly fathers have taught. Earthly fathers have disciplined. They have brought this into our life, and we give them respect. And if there is a relationship, there will be discipline. And notice this. He says, if there's been this discipline, we respected them. He says, shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? If our earthly fathers have done this, don't you think it's natural to see the heavenly Father do this? And if we can live with sin without God's discipline in our life, then there is no sonship. And it is not cruel. It is not unusual. It's not this incredibly hateful thing from God. It's God saying, listen, you need to get the relationship right. And if you are living in sin without that discipline, then maybe today we need to begin that relationship. Because when discipline is brought into our life, that relationship is evidenced. And notice, it's for the positive. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? That he brings life for our good, for our survival. God does not leave his own to walk in harm's way. He holds them accountable. And he brings conviction of sin to bring correction. If we bypass the conviction, look out for God's discipline. And the negative is, if there's no discipline, then we need to check the relationship. Remedy it by repenting and coming to the Father through the relationship through Jesus Christ. You know, if you want to see a great example of this on earth, go to a Chick-fil-A or a McDonald's play place. And you walk in there and you see all the kids running around, especially around lunchtime. It's a lot of fun. But you know, when you walk into that play place, and if it's your kid that is acting up and it's your kid that's going crazy, you discipline your child. You take care of your child. You teach them. At least you should if you aren't. But if you walk in there as someone else's kid, walk away. Walk away. It's someone else's child. But you know what? Here we see with the Father as well, that when discipline is coming into our life, that is an evidence of the relationship, and we can thank God that He is bringing the discipline. And then the third thing that we see in verses 10 and 11 is we see that value is found in the substantial. So now after we've seen these sections, we see these ideas that the Lord is bringing this discipline. He is lovingly teaching us. There's a relationship as sons. Now He says, here is the value. Here's what happens in verse 10. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The final section here of this passage gives us the reason for the discipline. It is for our good. God has our best in mind, and He does not have the desire to see sin destroy His children. Remember that this is the reason why He sent Jesus Christ to this earth, is to remedy the sin problem amongst us. 1 John 4, 9 and 10, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we've loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He did this for our good. This discipline, this training from our teaching from our Heavenly Father is for our good. But not only that, notice what it produces. As He says there in verse 10, that we may share His holiness. You see, this is the value. Here is the substantial. Here is the depth that God is trying to produce in us. Discipline implies a standard. It implies a correction of the wrongs, a direction for the right, and that standard is holiness. To be set apart, to have that purity. And what we must understand as we look at this is God is working in our lives to produce this holiness. Why does God want us to be holy? Does God want to take all the fun out of living on this earth? Why does God have a standard that we should live to? Because if we don't show the world that there's a difference, they'll see no reason for the Savior. If we are living in this world with no difference and we're not set apart, and we are loving and walking in the same things and with the love of the world, we are not showing that there is a difference, that there is a life change, that there is a transformation that comes through God the Father. His standard is to show others His goodness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. This standard is substantial because it produces the opportunity to have the gospel stand up. My dad had a standard. It was very simple. Act like you got some sense. There's either those that have sense or there's those that don't have sense. The standard? Act like those that have sense. All this discipline that our Heavenly Father is bringing about, all this that He is producing in our life, is to produce a standard of holiness so that the world can see how good He is. And then we see that there might be a little bit of pain in verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful. Sometimes that seems like an understatement, doesn't it? when we're going through discipline at times, it seems painful rather than pleasant. But notice the difference. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And those of you that have walked this life for any amount of time when walking with the Lord, you have seen that come to fruition. That discipline might seem painful for a moment. And it might be painful when we're going through it, when we are convicted of sin, when we are trying to align ourselves with that standard and we got to get some things right. And it might seem painful in those moments. Oh, but in the end, when we follow that standard, when we look to the Heavenly Father, it yields peaceful fruit in our lives. When we follow His direction, this discipline is yielding something substantial, not just the momentary. And fruit takes time to build. You know, instant gratification never leads to anything substantial. It's like the fact of a microwave Salisbury steak doesn't match up to a hickory smoked brisket. And too many times we go for the instant gratification. And we don't want the momentary pain because we want to live without that in our pleasure instead of understanding why God is bringing the discipline. He's bringing it for our eternal good. The Heavenly Father is pointing us to something substantial, the eternal. You know, I noticed this in Proverbs. In Proverbs 13:24, you've probably heard this verse, but I want you to hear the verse that comes right after it. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. The righteous has enough to satisfy his appetite, but the belly of the wicked suffers want. I found it interesting that that verse came right after the idea of discipline. Why? Because discipline is producing something in us, something far more substantial than just an instant gratification. There was a young man by the name of Hiram. He was afforded more opportunities than some of the average teenagers of his day. His father was a well-off tanner. And he would spend a lot of his extra time riding horses and even skating on frozen ponds. But yet, he didn't have a whole lot of direction. So much so that even in that time, his friends gave him a nickname, Useless. You know, friends can be pretty harsh sometimes. His nickname was Useless because he didn't really have a direction. And as his father began to watch this, as he began to graduate high school and he's about to go on and find out where he was going to go, his father stepped in and said, I know he needs discipline. He needs something in his life. His father arranged a meeting with a congressman and got him plugged into West Point. And so Hiram went to West Point. Hiram was his first name, but you might know him by his middle name. Because when he got to West Point, they used his middle name, his mother's maiden name, and his last name. And on his paperwork it said Ulysses S. Grant. And he went to West Point undisciplined. Useless was his nickname. His father noted after that first year of him coming home how transformed he was through that discipline. And we know that he would go on to be a general. He'd go on to be a president. Discipline points us to the substantial. Our Heavenly Father is pointing us in this right direction for fatherhood. He is showing us the love. He's showing us the relationship, the value of discipline. And here in the midst of this context in Hebrews, it's showing us the opportunity for fatherhood. Because fatherhood is an opportunity to produce spiritual fidelity. Fatherhood is an opportunity to multiply, to reproduce a spiritual lineage for our children. There are many important things that a father can teach. Can teach different skills. Can teach you how to act like you got some sense. can teach you how to fish, to hunt, how to have manners. But fathers, we also have a way to teach a spiritual lineage as well. To raise our families up with the importance of God is going to be God in this home. That we're going to lift up the standard of holiness. And in this midst of this running this race and setting aside sin and those things which beset us, here the writer of Hebrews gives us Jesus to look at, the author, the finisher of our faith. Consider him. But then also don't forget the exhortation. God disciplines and he chastens because he loves you and he wants to yield peaceable fruit in your life. Fatherhood is that opportunity to produce spiritual fidelity. And as we celebrate, as we remember, as we honor our fathers today, we go to our Heavenly Father for that example. We thank Him for our earthly fathers that teach and guide our lives, because through that is a spiritual legacy. I found this study that was commissioned by Baptist Press a few years back, and I thought it was very telling. That if a father and mother both attend worship and Bible study, which would be our life points or Sunday school, 72% of their children will attend both when grown. If only the father attends both, 55% of their children attend both when grown. If only the mother, 15%. If neither, 6%. Here we see the importance of parenting and raising that next generation. To be able to teach them and show them the way to that spiritual fidelity of something that is substantial. It's an opportunity to raise, impact, and teach the next generation that He is good. So today, as we honor and celebrate fathers, let us also be challenged to be the father, to be the mother, to be the parent that God has designed for us to be. Let's see the value raised, and we can thank the fathers that raised us in it. Shall we stand? As you stand this morning with your head bowed, this morning we've looked at the picture of our Heavenly Father, how He loves us, the discipline that He brings, but this morning I want you to know that He wants to be your Heavenly Father. If today you are walking continually in sin and there is not that discipline and you don't feel that relationship in your life, and if there's never been that time when you've made Him your personal Heavenly Father, I want you to know that today Jesus is here for you. That through His offering on the cross, through the way in which He submitted to the Father's will, through the way in which He did what His Father sent Him to do, and He died on a cross, a sinless life, His precious blood was shed that your sins might be forgiven. So that holiness, that righteousness might be accredited to your account. And today He's asking, come. Ask me to forgive you of these sins. I will forgive you. I will come and be your Father through the offering of Jesus Christ. What a great day to make God your Heavenly Father than Father's Day. In just a moment, we're going to start singing. And if you need to know that Heavenly Father in your life, I'm going to be just right down here. Please let me show you how to come to the Father through Jesus Christ this morning. And this morning, if He is your Heavenly Father, can we not just lift up praise to Him? Because yes, in this world, there are times when, sadly today, fathers fail. But yet, there's a Heavenly Father that loves and is always there. And maybe you had a great relationship with your father, and today you can praise Him that God gave you someone to raise you up in a spiritual lineage. For us as fathers today, may we take serious what God lays out for us. How to teach, to train, to be connected, so that we raise up the next generation unto Him. This morning as we sing Jesus Paid It All, I pray that we would respond to how God is working in our hearts and lives. We'll give Him all the glory. Our Father, work now. Help us, Lord, to respond to You, to be who You want us to be. We'll give You the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.